Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Yoav Navon, Director of Litigation Finance in Woodsford Litigation Funding's recently opened Israeli office. Prior to joining Woodsford, Yoav was an associate at Ron Gazit Rodenberg, where he represented clients across a range of industries. Yoav, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to participate in your podcast and talk about litigation funding in the Israeli market.
Yeah, this will be our first talk on funding in Israel, so we're excited about that. We recently ran a story on that very topic. I was surprised to learn how little oversight there is there. Courts aren't mandating disclosure. They're not holding funders liable for adverse cost awards or security for costs. And they're even allowing funders to actively participate in claims to a certain degree. So from my perspective, it kind of seems like the Wild West out there. I know a lot of people have called funding in America or even Europe or just funding in general the Wild West, but it really does seem that way in Israel. Is that an accurate depiction of the industry in Israel?
Well, I don't think I can say that's an accurate depiction. I mean, to get a full picture here, one needs to remember that the litigation funding industry in Israel is relatively new, unlike the US or the UK or Australia, for instance. There are only two local funds who deal mostly with domestic claims. Both of them were established in late 2015. So therefore, there are not yet too many cases that have been funded. And moreover, not many cases that are funded came to court in respect with the funding agreement. I think that we will see more and more development in that field in the next 2-3 years. But you're right, courts have not yet held funders liable for adverse costs or security for costs. And this is, to the best of my knowledge, an issue that needs to be settled between the funder and the claimant here. I don't know any case in which funder was actively participate in the claim. Israeli laws are based on the common law. So that means that we also have, in principle, the rules against temporary. But I think that the fact that there are only two local funds, which are pretty respectable, don't yet put this industry into the risk that might occur where there are too many players involved and there might be some ethical problems. So the courts so far see only the advantage of funding, and there are much more advantages than disadvantages, if you ask me.
When looking at the Israeli market, in my research at least, I found that the funding industry has really sort of taken off in the insolvency sector in Israel. Is that accurate? Is that an area of focus for you guys, insolvency?
As for the insolvency cases, so I think that worldwide they're still the bread and butter of this industry, basically since 2008. So in Israel, too, the industry has focused on this field. But of course, that's only one sector we are focused on, both in Israel and worldwide. I think that we are interested in providing funding to Israeli companies in international cases, whether it could be in various litigation procedures all over the world, or international arbitration. Israel, as you may know, knows as the startup nation. We are ranked third in the world on the USPTOs for patents per capita. There are thousands or even dozens of small or medium-sized startups in Israel with great intellectual property. A lot of those companies find themselves every once in a while being infringed by a giant technology company. And when that happened, this is a classic case of a David versus Goliath. Those kind of companies cannot afford litigation that will cost them $4, $5, $6 million to manage. And on the other hand, their intellectual properties and risk. I don't think that their VCs will rush to pay for it. They will probably don't have it on their balance sheet, and they don't want to put, even if they have those resources, this is not their operative cost. This is a legal cost that they will be happy to engage with a funder that will take this risk out of them. So we can help them first to enforce their IP and second to remove those risks out of their balance sheet. In addition to the tech companies, those patent enforcement cases, we're looking to fund basically any commercial litigation, as I said, in various of the fields around the world, and also international arbitration. It could be either on ICC, LCIA, ECCIT, etc. One last thing is about, and I think this is what you aimed at your question, part of it anyway, is for the domestic cases. So Woodford is definitely looking for investments in the Israeli market, and I'm talking about domestic cases. The criteria we are looking for on those cases is identical to the criteria of any other cases around the world. So, you know, same for the same amount of the same quantum of the claim, the same funding requirement. We also, you know, just the same criteria, and we don't change it from Israel to the U.S. We see and we saw quite a few interesting opportunities in the Israeli market. Israel has their own special needs, so the court fees in Israel is relatively high, and also there is almost always a need to security for expenses, and you know the usual expenses like consultants, experts, etc. I think what differentiates Israel from the U.S. and I think it's also from the U.K. is that in Israel it's prohibited for lawyers to pay their client costs. You can't take the cases on full contingency or part contingency, but you cannot pay out-of-pocket costs for a client. So this is definitely the kind of cost that the funder can assist the client with.
So what about let's talk about the Israeli legal market, the broader legal environment. From a funder's perspective, though, how much risk is there when it comes to issues like, let's say, time to settlement, enforcement, the appeals process? Are those sort of things dependable and predictable?
Well, I guess if you had asked me the same questions a year ago before I joined Woodford, I would probably think that Israel is the cases here lasting too long, same for appeals, etc. But today, you know, when I'm more exposed to international proceedings, I think that Israel is pretty much in a quite similar situation to the U.S. and England. A complex commercial litigation or arbitration case here will take usually 3 to 4 years, assuming that it ends up with a judgment. An appeal process will also take, I guess, 1, maybe 2 years at most. The judicial system here does encourage settlements. You can ask to get a refund of the court fee if the case ends up with a settlement before the trial begins. And cases with low quantums, which is not something we are taking a look at it, but just to give you a perspective, always required to take a mediation before the beginning of the trial. So I think we do, in principle, encourage settlements. Enforcement in Israel is quite, I think it's quite, I won't say easy, but it's relatively comfortable from a funder perspective anyway. So I think that all of those elements make Israeli a safe place to conduct investment. And, you know, if I have to take a look at the US or the UK or Australia, I think we are in good position from all of those aspects.
Can you shed some light on some numbers for us? Like, how big are some of the claims in Israel? What would be considered a sizable investment into a claim there? What would be a decent return that you'd be looking for? Just give us a ballpark on that.
As I mentioned, when we take a look at the Israeli cases, we are doing it in the same way we are taking a look in each and every case. So the criteria will be the same as any other potential investments we have. So in our case, that means that a minimum commitment we are looking for any funding agreement will be $500,000, dollars, and the minimum claim will be at least $5 million. The returns will be also the same as we expect from any other cases around the globe. We don't draft different terms for cases that come from Israel, obviously. So therefore, I don't see any difference between cases we're going to invest in Israel, whether it's an Israeli party at a U.S. or a U.K. or international arbitration, or an Israeli party in a domestic claim. Until now, there were cases we took a look at, Israeli cases, in, I guess, in the U.S. I remember one with a $500,000 budget. On the other hand, we took a look at an Israeli domestic claim with a $5 million budget. So it really, I can really measure it and you know, make a difference between any other investment we have.
Got you. Okay. So on the more personal front, I can't imagine that there are too many lawyers in Israel who have become litigation funders like you. So I'm curious, how did you end up making that switch? And also just like, what's it like when you go to cocktail parties and people ask what you do? Do you have to spend 10 minutes explaining what you do, or is litigation funding pretty well in the mainstream there that people get it?
Well, first of all, for the first part, yeah, you are right. There are not too many lawyers that deal with litigation funding, especially not at my age. And as a whole, the Israeli legal community is not yet too familiar with the utilities of funding. So that makes me, I guess, a bit unique at each and every one of those cocktail parties. On my personal angle, my entry into this market was entirely entrepreneur. I mean, I left my previous firm with a 8 months pregnant wife and basically without a job, just because I want to jump into this market. No one asked me to send my CV. I just, you know, learned this market by my own and approached Woodford by email. I guess that, you know, I'm fortunate to work with Stephen Frell, which you mentioned, our CEO, who at the very beginning had a visionary, and he saw the potential in Israel from the first day. Other people in his role, you know, could say, I haven't heard about any other funder that opens an office in Israel. Why should I be the first? But I guess this is part of what makes Stephen what it is. And he has a lot of creative ideas, and this is just one of them. This industry became bigger and bigger from year to year, and you have to find new markets to expand to, and this is definitely a new attractive market for Woodford. And yes, you do have to explain each and every time to each and every person what is funding and what is the utilities of funding and what are the advantage and the disadvantage. But, you know, I see it as an advantage to be in this position. I'm educating the market. On the other hand, I'm currently one of the three or four people in Israel that are involved in this market. So I guess it puts me in a better position, rather if I was doing the same thing in the US or Australia or whatever. So, you know, it basically it makes you sort of an expert. And, you know, in general, I really like this industry, and I truly believed in it from the day one. I really like the combination between finance and litigation, and I think that a lot of people treat litigation very emotionally, although eventually it's an asset of a company that's worth sometimes dozens or hundreds of dollars, and you should act in accordance when you engage with a funder. I think it makes everything more rational, and you run those cases the way you would treat each and every asset you have.
Okay, final question for you. I just want to know, how impactful is the global economic environment as relates to the Israeli economy? So there, you know, there's obviously concerns about Brexit. There's concerns about the potential for a recession here in America at some point soon. But I just want to know how the Israeli economy connects with the rest of the world.
Well, that's a good question. And I think we learned in the 2008 crisis that Israel is a relatively safe place, a safe harbor, and the economic here is pretty, in a way, a safe system. Most of the trade that Israel does is with the European Union, and we are also a member of the OECD. Within this trade relations we have with the EU, most of it is with the UK. With regard to Brexit, I think Israel is one of the first countries that signed a trade agreement with the UK. So, as I said, we, you know, the UK are the largest trading partner we have in Europe. So, because of that agreement we already signed with them, I don't expect that the Brexit will have any big effect on the Israeli economy. Especially, you know, I assume not different from any other country. It will be relatively safe about it. In general, about the Israeli economy, I mean, growth here is on a steady upward trend, and the GDP is also, you know, rising from year to year. As I said, we managed to be relatively stable in the 2008 crisis. I think the best thing is that our economy is not really rely on any central anchors, and it's very diverse. You know, if I could brag a bit about Israel, I think that in general this country is a true miracle. I mean, you know, it basically bloomed from out of nowhere 70 years ago, without no natural resources. All of the population basically had immigrated to Israel. We have succeeded in building a country with a stable and good economic system, which, you know, just improving from year to year. So on that aspect, I think we can feel very safe. Woodford can be feeling very safe about entering into Israel.
Yeah, Yoav, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your perspective on litigation funding in Israel. It's a very interesting time and exciting time for the funding industry as a whole. As always, entering new markets like Israel, it's always there's a lot going on. So we appreciate your perspective on that.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I hope we'll speak soon about other developments in the Israeli market and other funders might also join and want to enter this market also.
Absolutely. We're keeping our eyes on Israel for sure. And if you're interested in Woodsford generally, or even specifically about their operations in Israel, you can visit them at their website at www.woodsfordlitigationfunding.com. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Litigation Finance Podcast.